This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. As I said yesterday, this very month, July, the United States of America celebrated her 234th birthday. It was my blessing to be on July 4th on the Potomac River watching the fireworks. And I didn't know it, but I can't remember if it was John Adams or Samuel Adams. One of them had said that we should celebrate each year with fireworks. I'll try to look up that statement for you and give it to you on one of the broadcasts. But I was very much thinking about that when I watched those fireworks, and we could see Washington's monument in the background. Nothing in Washington, D.C. can be higher than the Washington's monument. And on the top of that monument, it ends with the Latin words for "Praise be to God" and a prayer by George Washington. And so I had just been on this tour called the Next Great Awakening Tour, headed up by David Barton and Dr. Jim Garlow. 50 of us began the tour on June 25th, and we retraced the godly beginnings of this nation through our founders, from the Pilgrims and Puritans, through the great preachers and the great awakenings, such as Jonathan Edwards, the Wesleys, George Whitefield. And we saw the influence of the first great awakening upon the founding fathers, who brought forth the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. We looked at how they built this nation on godly principles and on the Word of God. We visited Plymouth. Oh my goodness, I got on that replica of the Mayflower. It's called the Mayflower too. Folks, it would be, you'd really have to be called by God to get on that boat and head out in those close, cramped little quarters that they slept in, facing disease, facing the unknown. We thank God for everything people have done to give us this wonderful nation to live in. We went to Boston. We went to Monmouth, where was the Battle of Monmouth. And there we saw on the church, it happened to be George Tenet's church, and on the pew in the back, Washington, of course, fought the British out on the battlefield. But William Tenet's church was there, a Puritan church, and they brought in the wounded, and they turned that church into a hospital. And there on the pews, with today's technology, DNA, they showed us the spot of blood that was shed from some Revolutionary War soldier who gave his very life for us. And it was really something to look at that and think about all the martyrs and all the things that have been done to give us this nation. We saw all of these things, and we determined that our roots are very sure. We were founded upon the Word of God. Now, I particularly enjoyed being with David Barton. You've seen him a lot on Brother Copeland's. You've seen him on Glenn Beck. In fact, we went one day with him on our tour. We went to the Glenn Beck program. You might have seen us in the audience there. But I'm going to be offering you this week, because you need to know these things, and your children need to know these things. We must get this back into our young people's knowledge, because it was taken out of their history books. We're going to be talking particularly about some of the things that have been taken out of the history books. And so I'm going to be studying with you this week David Barton's book, America's Godly Heritage. And we have that available in a book form and DVD with lots of pictures. And we'll tell you at the end of the program how to get those. So David's book begins, "Does America Really Have a Godly Heritage?" Well, in my own life, years ago, God dealt with me about how he does establish nations. And I have told you, and you've heard me before tell you about being in Frances Tutt's home in Nanafalaya, Alabama. And she had a Bible up by my bed, and I just let it fall open to what Lynn Hammond calls a flop and stop. I don't often do that, but once and twice in my life, twice I can think of, God used such a thing to speak to me. And so, reading from Acts chapter 17, verse 16, "Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." Verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Now, I was just reading along like this, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I want you to notice and pay particular attention to how I had the Apostle Paul declare me to pagans, to men who knew nothing about me. So I said, well, here, let's see how God had himself declared. He had himself declared as, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. He often throughout the Bible begins a statement based on the fact, I'm saying this because I made everything, and that's my ground for saying it. So he made the world, everything in it. Verse 24, he's Lord of heaven and earth. He dwells not in temples made with hands. Verse 26, and he has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. This scripture right here meant a lot to the Puritans. It said to them, we're all from one blood. There's really not such a thing as the divine right of kings. After all, this is what George Whitefield preached, and that the ground at the foot of the cross is even. But this says to us right here, this verse, that God, this is his manifesto to the pagan world, that he brings forth nations. Looks what it says right here. He has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and he's appointed their times and their boundaries. Read it in the Amplified Bible, and you'll see how plainly it's marked out, that he determines when nations come forth, and he determines what their boundaries are. I'm going back to David Barton's book. Does America really have a godly heritage? Yes, Acts 17. Now back to David's statement. It definitely does. And abundant proof of this fact is available in tens of thousands of historic documents. On our tour, David and Cheryl brought many documents and showed us. Besides, we went to the National Archives and other places and looked at the original documents. David himself has a wonderful collection of original documents proclaiming our godly heritage. In fact, David said, copious evidence is readily visible in a consideration of the individuals and incidents in and around just one small building, Independence Hall, in Philadelphia, the birthplace of American liberty and the origin of American constitutional government. In that building, on July 2nd, 1776, now that's 2 days before the 4th, the founding fathers in the Continental Congress voted to approve a complete separation from Great Britain. On July 4th, they approved the Declaration of Independence. Two men signed it, but only two signed it on the 4th. On July 8th, they carried the Declaration of Independence, which they'd written, outside Independence Hall, and they read it to the assembled crowd. And then they rang the Liberty Bell. Now, most people assume that the famous Liberty Bell derives its name from the fact that it rang when America announced its liberty. And it did, but that's not where it got its name. It got its name, the Liberty Bell, because of the biblical inscription from Leviticus 25:20 emblazoned around it. So the Liberty Bell itself has from the Bible this statement from Leviticus 25:20. Quote, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. Next door to Independence Hall is Carpenter's Hall. Now, we visited these places on our tour. It was in Carpenter's Hall that the first American Congress met. In 1774, 40 of America's leading statesmen from across the 13 colonies, including Patrick Henry, John Adams, George Washington, John Jay, Samuel Adams, they met in that hall to prepare for the approaching conflict with Great Britain. That Congress, this is 1774, 2 years before the Declaration of Independence, That Congress opened with prayer. But according to historical records, it was not a superficial prayer like might be prayed in a public gathering today. To the contrary, it was a profound time of prayer, led by the Reverend Jacob Duché, a local minister from nearby Christchurch. Christchurch is where many of the Founding Fathers worshipped and where seven signers of the Declaration of Independence are buried, including Benjamin Franklin, Benjamin Rush, and others. So many founders worshipped at Christchurch that around 1910, a famous stained glass window, now called the Patriots' Window, was added, showing many of the founders and famous Americans attending church there, including George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, Dr. Benjamin Rush, Benjamin Franklin, and his daughter. These are all included in a stained glass window that has all these people's faces in it in the same place, in the stained glass window. Now, the tour guide that we met in the Independence Hall, they divided our group up, 25 and 25, and he was a rather of a smart aleck. And I noticed right away, if you ask him a question, he made you sound foolish. And he said, blatantly, "We have no record that George Washington ever attended church." What? Our next stop was Christchurch, where Reverend Duché was the pastor. There was George Washington's pew. He often went to that church. He helped build other churches. He was a man of God. And in fact, our tour guide said, "We're not even sure he was a Christian." Well, folks, I want you to know, someone on our tour has taken it as his own personal task to report that man, because we don't want those things told to our children. There's an organized effort to stop it. Now, the other half of our tour group, they went with a man who was a godly man and who recognized these things. But we don't want any tour guide standing up and changing America's history with blatant lies. And these are not the truths, because the truths are in the documents, in the places, in the things that we saw. Now, we're making available to you this book that I'm reading from this week, America's Godly Heritage by David Barton. It's also on DVD. I think you'll want it for your young people. We will be having, I think it's $6 for the book and $15 for the DVD. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447, 1-800-972-3447, or go online to billybrim.org. And do not forget to make your reservation to be with us at the Autumn Assembly of Prayer, October 27 through November 1st, where we are praying, of course, in unity for an awakening unto God. Just telephone us at 1-800-972-3447 or go online and they'll tell you how to get registered at the Hilton Hotel. This is Billy Brim, really looking forward to this week as we look into David Barton's book, saying, Shalom, Shalom.